Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Brazil is Geert Alberts. Geert is with the firm Control Risks and has been active at SCCE meetings through the years. Geert, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here.
Once again, great to have you. So we're going to be talking today about managing risks in South America. Let's start out with the biggest one, which is anti-corruption. It's probably certainly the best known risk, but it's more subtle than many think. I mean, not every country has the same profiles. How should compliance officers plan accordingly as they look at the risks in South America?
Well, I guess when we look at the critical components of an effective compliance program, the single most important component, I would say, is, you know, compliance obviously to look at, besides obviously tone at the top and at the middle, is to make sure that there's a detailed and in-depth corruption risk assessment. The risk assessment itself is obviously the anchor in DNA of any compliance program, and it informs all the other elements like due diligence, what type of training needs to be conducted, and what type of additional controls or monitoring mechanisms need to be put in place. But as you correctly point out, Adam, I think not all countries in South America have similar corruption risk profiles. In fact, when you look across South America, and within the countries in South America, there's a broad range of risks and differing risks between states and provinces in those very countries. And the corruption risks also vary, I think, depending on which government bodies one's interacting with. So, for example, customs is a particularly sensitive area in Argentina. In Brazil, we've seen major corruption schemes, particularly involving the legislative. And in other countries, it might be the police or state-owned companies. So as such, compliance officers, they really need to broaden the risk assessment to consider their operations, both specific geographic footprint in country, as well as getting a more granular understanding which government bodies they're interacting with. And finally, I just want to mention another element, which is compliance officers need to understand the anti-corruption enforcement environment. So not just the risk itself, but how the countries are actually enforcing against corruption risk. To this end, Control Risk, jointly with America's Society and Council of the Americas, launched a Capacity to Combat Corruption Index. This index compares 8 major countries in Latin America and their capacity to combat corruption as opposed to perception. Brazil came in second, Chile first, Colombia was third. And maybe for those people who know Brazil, who have seen Brazil's rankings plummet in Transparency International rankings, might not be that surprised that Brazil came in second in terms of capacity to combat corruption, given, you know, the very, very active nature of enforcement here in Brazil. But anyway, that's I hope that answers your question, but happy to expand as necessary.
You know, it's good. And you make some very valid points. I mean, as we're recording this, I'm a few weeks out from heading down to SCCE's regional meetings in Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, and as well as our academy in Brazil. And it's very interesting as we get ready for that, just seeing the tremendous amount of variation amongst those three companies in this area, both in terms of corruption risk, you know, Chile, which notably is much lower, and then in terms of enforcement, where, you know, in Brazil with the whole Operation Car Wash, just seeing tremendous amounts of activity and being part of big global anti-corruption settlements. Now, as we talk about this, corruption isn't the only risk area out there. There's lots of others. What are some of the key risk areas that compliance teams should be preparing for when looking at South America?
Yeah, so you're right. Corruption risk is not the only risk. Actually, the nature of risk varies very broadly across the region. And I think this makes the job of compliance officers and other risk management officers very, very challenging, particularly those who have a regional remit. So besides corruption risk, I would highlight political and regulatory risks. We see an incredibly volatile environment across Latin America. Security risks. Social risk issues, environmental, and increasingly cyber and data related risks. Many of the risks I mentioned, of course, they manifest themselves via economic risk. And I think most people who are a bit familiar with Latin America know about the cycles of, you know, economic, economic fortunes and economic depressions, which have hit the region. And of course, it would be amiss not to mention the tax and labor environments, which are incredibly complex in most Latin America countries. In some cases, such as with Brazilian tax legislation, just keeping up with all the changes and knowing what to comply with is a major challenge for compliance teams, little less actually, you know, taking measures to comply, which takes me back to the prevalence of corruption risks in the region, given the strong correlation there is between very complex regulation and heavy bureaucracy and incentives, those types of systems create for companies to seek alternative and illegal ways to expedite procedures or induce tax and labor inspectors, for example, to look the other way. So it's a very, very rich environment, pregnant environment in terms of the different types of risks compliance officers need to manage.
Wow. Now, you touched upon one area as you were recounting the risk areas, which is data protection and privacy. Brazil, you recently told me as we were getting ready for this call, just passed the new law. Can you give an overview of its requirements and the likely implications for compliance programs?
Yeah, thanks for asking, because that's really one of the hot topics we're discussing and talking with clients about. Complying with the growing patchwork of international data privacy rules is increasingly a complex undertaking for most companies globally. This complexion is further compounded by the explosion of data volumes and use of cloud-based data structures, which means many companies don't control or even know where their data sits. But in the case of Brazil, it decided to adopt GDPR, so the European data privacy laws here in Brazil, and they go into effect in August 2020. So the law basically applies to all government bodies, companies, individuals, and protects all personal data, which is in itself a very broadly defined concept. It applies when data is collected and processed in Brazil, or when it's done with the purpose of providing goods or services to someone in Brazil. It imposes a wide range of obligations, such as the requirement to adopt appropriate measures to protect the data, deleting the data when a relationship with a person ends, or when deletion or correction is requested by a person, as well as informing the affected person, and the appropriate authorities in case of a breach of data. It also imposed the obligation of organizations to appoint a data privacy officer, so yet another, risk management person in the organization chart. And fines for violating the law can amount up to 2% of the company's gross revenue in Brazil, limited to approximately $15 million per incident. But here's why we consider the adoption of this particular data privacy law in Brazil such a big event. When you superimpose very restrictive European-style data privacy requirements on Brazil's notoriously lax information security practices, and consider the increasingly rigorous enforcement environment in Brazil, it's not hard to see something of the making of a perfect storm, and one which companies and their compliance teams should be preparing for in earnest. And I could certainly discuss some of the things that compliance teams should be doing, but the very basic starting point is to ensure that they map all relevant data collection and processing activities covered by the law and make sure they address the requirements the law imposes on companies.
Yeah, it certainly does sound like a very dangerous scenario, though on the positive side, at least you're getting consistency and some leverage out of past efforts companies have made for GDPR compliance. You mentioned...
Yeah, can I just add one other...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add one other thing there. I think it's a very positive development for Brazil. One thing I think companies should take note of, however, is besides complying with the law, obviously we've seen globally significant breaches of data privacy and the significant fines and also reputational damage that's created. So the other, I would say, recommendation, particularly for compliance teams, is to make sure that companies have not only appropriate protocols in place to be able to respond to these incidents, including reporting to authorities, but also crisis management, practice crisis management plans to make sure that they can help, you know, reduce any potential reputational fallout from these breaches, which can be hugely damaging, as we've all seen.
Yeah, no, and I think you're saying it's well timed. I mean, we just had the big Equifax settlement. Reports are soon of a very, very large Facebook settlement in this area. So
that's right.
Definitely need to do it. And I'm always reminded of Nassim Taleb's admonition that while we can't control or manage every risk that there is out there, but you can control your response to them. So it's always good to think about
what
would happen if something were to go wrong. Now, as companies develop their risk assessments and put in place programs that match those risks, whether it's privacy, corruption, or any of the others that you enumerated, you work with a lot of companies, you've seen a lot of things done well and then done badly. Are there any common mistakes you see made in South American compliance programs?
Yeah, there are a couple which we've seen on a recurring basis. I'd say the first one is that many companies tend to focus almost exclusively on existing in-house knowledge of risks. So these are typically garnered through interviews and workshops. And they often fail to consider risks which might impact, for example, a key client or a supplier, which may have very significant knock-on effects on their own operation. I think the second one is that companies often fail to refresh the risk assessments continuously. So risk assessments are all often kind of a protocolized once a year exercise. And in South America and Latin America more broadly, which is a region, you know, a tremendously dynamic and volatile region, greater thoroughness and periodicity are required to keep the risk assessments relevant and fresh. The third one, I think, in a world of growing data volumes and the increasing use of technology to be able to mine insights from the data through methodologies like data analytics, it's quite surprising how many companies still rely on very analog paper-based type methodologies for risk assessments, not using available technology to identify and predict risk trends using financial and other company data, for example, is really a missed opportunity. And the fourth, it's not really a mistake, but I guess it's a, it's kind of a tip, is around talent. So I think, you know, in some of your other, some of the other articles I've read in your magazine, it's clear that the demands for compliance officers and demands on them, particularly in South America, have grown tremendously. There is a shortage in the talent pool, and I think your organization is doing a great job in making sure that, from an educational point of view, people are getting up to speed. I would just encourage companies not to limit themselves to looking only at the legal audience. So, that's a traditional kind of, talent pool to look at. There are plenty of business smart, process driven, and ethical professionals who could probably do a good job if they're well trained.
You know, and we've definitely seen, around the world, more and more people without the legal background taking leadership and compliance roles. And by the way, as you're talking about changing risks and reassessing more frequently, I think we've seen with the changing list of who is and isn't under sanctions, for example, in Venezuela, that's something certainly companies mm-hmm. need to stay on top of. Now, just in closing, one last question. Looking to the future, how do you think compliance risk is likely to evolve?
Yeah, that's a tough one. But I guess continuing from my last response, compliance risk, like many, many other risks, will increasingly be affected by rapidly increasing digital transformation of companies and economies. And as such, I think managing these risks will require ever broader and more sophisticated use of technology to map, prevent, and remediate compliance risks. So just think, for example, about wholesale adoption of digital currencies and what this might mean to companies and their capability to manage, for example, anti-money laundering risk. So the continued and perhaps growing need for human input and judgment and the continued importance of values and ethics, I think, on the other hand, should continue to bode well for future compliance professionals, provided they stay on top of these trends. So they shouldn't be replaced by machines, or they won't be replaced by machines. But it's very, very clear that technology is a major transformer of the entire compliance industry and also of compliance risk itself.
Well, Geert, thank you so much for all of those insights into the broad spectrum of risks and what to do about them in South America. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.